our very best online comic talent. But first, a chance to look back to one of the world's most charismatic popular musicians.
We're celebrating the reggae icon Bob Marley.
Music is family.
Taking you through his era-defining moments.
There's something about Bob. When he opens his mouth, oh my goodness.
Unearthing rare BBC archive and hearing from his loved ones and fans.
You can't make sense of the magnitude of his songs and how far they've travelled.
The world was listening.
Era's Bob Marley. With me, Trevor Nelson. Listen on BBC Sounds.
So, time for new sketch comedy now, as the internet's funniest artists swap Instagram, TikTok and X for Radio 4. POV.
You need to stop asking what the Henge is going to do for the community and start asking what the community is going to do for the Henge.
I am disgusted, Anthony! Absolutely disgusted!
OK, which part was quote-unquote offensive?
Your pet cat's died.
But obviously, I'm not going to say any of that to you, Nick.
Maybe I'll rupture my ACL. Sounds nice.
I don't think it's controversial to say those roles should have gone to babies.
They look like adults.
That's what I love about you. A sense of humour.
POV. A sketch show.
Okay, everyone, welcome to this meeting of the Neolithic Wiltshire Town Council. First point of order, as you know, we have a fair bit of stone left over from last quarter's stone budget, and we have to decide what to do with it. These are nice big sarsen stones, so it really got to be amazing. We've had a few good suggestions so far. Millstones for food. Shelter for the rain. Shaping all the stone into lumpy arrowheads and burying them in the ground. Very well then. Sounds like we're all in agreement. In that case...
How about a henge?
Not this again.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had a new henge.
Yes, well, we all let you convince us to build twig henge and feather henge, and look what happened to them.
Yeah, but stone, imagine that.
I'm having a hard time picturing a henge made of stone.
Well, exactly. It's never been done. How many times have you seen a megalith that's made of two rocks on top of each other?
Yeah.
But no one's done three.
A henge is very ambitious, but I'll indulge you. Let's blue sky this. Maybe it could be a cairn or a barrow.
Oh, has to be a henge.
Okay, then. What would we use it for? Would it be for religion, for astronomy? Maybe it's a calendar?
Yeah, probably one of them.
No more funny business. Why do you come here every quarter to suggest a henge when you can't even tell us why you want it, what it's for?
It's for the community.
To do what?
I don't know, their henge, their business.
But if we're going to approve this, you must have... some idea of what the henge will be doing for the community.
You need to stop asking what the henge is going to do for the community and start asking what the community is going to do for the henge.
Like, for example, suppose we build it, you know, like in a town centre, it might draw people to the area. We can set up markets in there.
Stupid. No merchants for 2 miles, minimum.
So, where would we build this thing?
Salisbury Plain, just off the A303.
Okay, well, we'll put that in the maybe pile, put a pin and circle back round.
Bollocks, I'm not letting you kick the can down the road again.
Excuse me?
Last year we were going to build Chalk Henge, but you put it on the maybe pile and then decided to use it all to draw a massive horse on the hillside.
I'm not hearing any other complaints about the horse.
It would be a shame not to have a horse.
But that does nothing for the community.
Art for free public consumption is one of the noblest goals you can pursue in office. Plus, it brings tourism.
Yeah, that is fair. It is brilliant.
It's good point. How about this?
Go on in.
No. It's a compromise. We'll build it where you want to build it, but it won't be a henge. Instead, we'll build a ring of sculptures of big, lovely horses.
Yeah, go on then. Horses are brilliant.
Now, we don't have quite enough stones for the whole thing, so we'll just use them for the legs and the knobs. The rest we'll make out of twigs and feathers. Meeting adjourned.
Time's coming up to 11 o'clock. Let's have some callers. Colin from Portsmouth is on the line. Hello, Colin.
I am disgusted, Anthony, absolutely disgusted with the lack of policing in this country. I read this morning that a girl of no fixed abode wandering through the woods has broken into the house of some peaceful, law-abiding bears who were out on their daily walk. And she set up camp in their home claiming squatters' rights.
Sorry, bears. Is this the story of Goldilocks, Colin?
Oh, you'd love to say that crimes are all made up, wouldn't you? It helps you wet, lifty, liberal metropolitan elite sleep at night.
Speaking of sleep, that's what she did, isn't it, Colin? Sleep in their beds. Not sure she should be vilified so much by the press for the crime of being a bit tired.
Not before she stole all their food. Those bears were only out to let it cool down. I mean, I grant you, most of us would just sit on our phones for 5 minutes while waiting, or simply blow on it. But should they be punished? We all used to walk in the old days, didn't we? Not an e-scooter or emigrant in sight.
Everything was within 15 minutes, a utopia, Colin.
A 15-minute city, eh? Don't you dare try to tell me where I can drive, Stalin. If I were to drive down a street that for some reason has been gifted to pedestrians, then I will do just that. And in a diesel vehicle if I choose to.
Why are these bears eating porridge oats, come to think of it, and not meat? That seems a bit progressive to me, Colin.
Typical do-gooding climate change fanatics. What's wrong with eating a wild pig, just like your ancestors used to? I bet they made their porridge and left their house not for it to cool down, but to chain themselves to the M25 or chuck a can of soup over a Van Gogh painting. These bears have gone woke, and it's our society enabling it.
So all parties are in the wrong here?
Oh, yeah, no blame to the girl whatsoever. She was just exercising her sovereign British right, achieved through the Brexit wars, to reclaim the land from the enemies of this country. No wonder she fell asleep after they tried to poison her with veganism. Anyway, mate, thanks for having me on. Love to the family.
Love to the family, Colin. Love to the family. She chose the middle object each time. A lesson in compromise for us all.
Typical bloody centric.
Well, it's finally here. Your wedding day. I love weddings. I think it's really helpful choosing what to have for dinner 7 months in advance. And honestly, it was no issue getting up at 6 a.m. to do your hair. Such a privilege for you. You're lucky I was free. It's not often you can get a hairdresser who's by royal appointments come to a budget hotel at all. Never mind so early. Yeah, royal appointment. I do the coma patients at the Royal Infirmary twice a month, so yeah, I am. No need to apologise. I don't want you feeling stupid on your special day. So what we doing? I saw that photo you sent. Margot Robbie with soft curls. I was howling. I thought, that's what Danny sees in her. A sense of humour. Oh, it was. What you want. Right, righto. Oh, as I say, it's your day. Sure we can work something out. Oh my God, is that girls allowed? There, look. Oh, it's the bridesmaids. They look stunning. That's what I love about you. You're so used to going unnoticed. You don't even mind being upstaged at your wedding. Shows real character, that. Your mum's opening the fizz. 8 a.m, bit late for her, innit? Pink Prosecco, very glam. Makes a change from that £2 scotch blend she brushes her teeth with. Oh, none for me, thanks. No, I'm working and I've got pride. I wonder how Danny's feeling this morning. Hungover, I bet. Yeah, I saw him last night in the grapes. Well, unless he's an awful clangor. That's German for lookalike. Yeah, I spoke to him. Oh, I've never seen him so drunk. He was staggering round like Mick Jagger on hot sand. Some of the stuff he was saying. Oh, I've changed my mind. No, seriously, I have. My feet are warm, so it's not that. Hilarious. He comes over and he says, Leanne, it was you I wanted. It's only ever been you. I think you're beautiful. I said, oh, give over, Danny. You're so funny. And then he started crying and he went off with some girl. I didn't catch her name. Oh, gorgeous hair, though. Just like Margot Robbie. Oh, don't cry. Save those tears for the altar. Actually, a quick cry might even your makeup out. That's better. Smile. You're the big bride. You've the rest of your life to cry. Probably.
It's been an emotional day at the Athletics. I'm here with Johnny Greenhouse, who just came agonisingly close in the 300 metres mixed hopping. Johnny, this is the fourth time you've come fourth in this event. You must be devastated.
Yeah, obviously it's disappointing. I really thought I had a chance this year.
You've said that you trained even harder than ever, and yet you missed out again. How do you feel?
It's obviously not ideal, but, you know, in the end, I gave it my best shot.
You must be very upset, though.
Yeah, of course, but, you know, that's professional sport. You know, I've still got a few years ahead of me here.
But you are older than everyone else in the event this year. Do you not feel that perhaps you've wasted your life? Do you sometimes just want to cry?
No, I mean, it's hard work, obviously, but I love what I do, and...
You've got a message from your parents here, who sadly can't be with you today. It says they're very proud of you, and they love you very much, and they can't wait to see you again.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
They've said you're their brave boy, and they're so, so proud of you.
As I say, that's nice.
Feeling tearful?
I mean, my family's always been very supportive, and...
Your pet cat's died.
What?
Yes, we've just heard that your pet cat, Linford, has just died.
Oh. It's very sad. But he was quite old.
Your wife's left you.
What?
Yep, she said she can't stand being married to a loser anymore and she's left you for your coach.
I mean, that is hard to hear, but we have grown apart recently.
Look, do you want to be in the montage or not?
Sorry?
Our viewers love a plucky loser, someone who's dedicated their life to something and failed at the final hurdle, and the waterworks just overwhelm them.
I don't know what to say. It's my job.
Okay.
Are those onions? I mean, where did you even get the chopping board from?
I use it as a clipboard. Fine, I'll put it away.
Thank you.
Now, on a lighter note, we've just heard that the closing ceremony will be featuring an appearance from none other than Ed Sheeran!
Oh, God! Not Sheeran! Not again! I can't take it! Every
first things first, sing, rap the verse over this four chords I loop for the rest of the song. I'm rich cause I never have to pay a band. It's actually a pretty smart business plan. Screw my label, they can tell me what to do, cause I used to be homeless, only sang in the tube. Learned I can't rap fast if I'm smoking crack. But speaking of smoking crack, there's an angel who I'm in perfect hetero love with. Her eyes shine like stars, cause she maybe has a tiny drug problem. Here are some words for your married friends' Instagram captions. Baby, you'll hear this at weddings for the rest of your life. And now I'm rapping really fast again. The music industry does get me, man. I meet a pretty girl at a bar, not the club. The bar is different than the club. We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour. It's not a metaphor, I mean sweet and sour chicken. There's so much to unpack, the crispy skin, the soft, tender middle and the crispy skin. We're both really passionate about Chinese food. Then 7 hours later, she's my wife. Now, we found perfect hetero love. This is my original song. So Marvin Gaye, you can suck it, baby. We found love and Panda Express. Happy anniversary, Kaylee and Brett.
Welcome to Broken News. I'm Jonty Unterboob. A celebrity whose star is on the wane has decided to follow in the footsteps of all other celebrities and branch out into low-effort children's books. They've announced that they're starting work on what they've described as a crap rip-off of Roald Dahl. Our reporter, Tempo Vampire, has more.
Yes, thank you, Jonty. Well, this is a momentous day in the world of children's publishing. The huge news that this celebrity will write a kid's book because they think it's the easiest thing they can do after their TV show that you can't remember got canned. We understand the former comedian, who for some reason has a show on Radio 2 now as well, has come up with a colourful cover for the book, has used a slightly rude word that kids giggle at, and plans to include an incredibly twee moral lesson about inclusivity. It comes as the former Holby City extra and I'm a Celebrity 2007 fifth runner-up says they're looking for a new challenge. After starting a low-effort podcast with a celebrity mate about being a dad or whatever, writing 14 memoirs and publishing a murder mystery for adults that didn't sell very well but has nevertheless been optioned for Amazon Prime because they are, after all, a bit famous. They've also started putting their name on the label for a really vinegary wine that they would never drink themselves and had no hand in making. Well, on becoming the UK's 7,000th new celebrity children's author this week, the 52-year-old said, "I've created a generator that comes up with an animal, a bodily function, and something that kids love. I've so far come up with the pussy that sicked up jelly babies, the caterpillar that sharted hot chocolate, and the dinosaur that pooped out Christmas. Oh no, that's actually a real one by them out of McFly." Back to you.
Tempo, thank you. What a lovely story. And there is just time to remind you that my first children's book, The Frog That Ejaculated Donuts, is available now from all good bookstores. That's all from Broken News. You're up to date.
Hey, it's Sally here. Yeah, Sally in HR. Just a quick one. I got your email in response to the staff-wide memo we sent out. Which part were you offended by? I'm sure we didn't mean anything by it. I'll bring the memo up now, actually. While I'm bringing it up, here's a funny story for you. I went to this new Korean restaurant that's just opened on my high street. They've got something called bibimbap on the menu. I just kept saying bibimbap bimpei the entire time. I mean, you're not laughing. So I'm sure you've heard it before, but I guess you just had to be there. Okay, got the memo up now. I made a point of keeping it as general as possible. It reads, "Dear Plant Acorn staff, we ask that henceforth any drastic changes in your appearance will require an update to your intranet profile picture. This is so that colleagues can readily recognise each other, especially colleagues with Afro-type hairstyles. Best regards, Sally Longbottom." Okay, which part was quote-unquote offensive? Well, yes, you are currently the only employee with this hair type. How many? 200. I said 200 employees. I mean, to be fair, there are people who work in the building from agencies and the like, you know, the cleaners and the... Hello? Hello? Oh, I think she's hung up.
From the visionary who brought you All the President's Men, Spotlight, and The Post, comes a new journalistic drama.
Mr. Matthews, let me finish. I know I'm just a junior reporter, and I know that I'm speaking out of turn, so forgive me for interrupting, but I'll never forgive myself if I didn't. Sir, I can't let you kill this story. This story is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than every other reporter here at Pop Sugar. You and I both know Dua Lipa stunned in low-cut top at the iHeartRadio Music Awards. So why won't you report it? Pop Sugar is about telling the truth. It's about keeping America safe. I'm not done. When Rihanna flexed her baby bump in Cabo, when Miley turned heads in green bikini, when Zendaya and Tom Holland were major couple goals at basketball game, who was brave enough to break those stories after the Daily Mail went, eh? That used to be us. And to be more specific, that used to be a young Pop Sugar reporter by the name of John Matthews. That's you, sir. What happened to that reporter? The one who stood for the truth? Forgive me for assuming incorrectly, sir, and maybe I'm out of line, sir, but I was under the assumption that we were running a newspaper with the journalistic principles that says if a B-list celebrity slays, serves, or, yes, stuns, we are under a moral obligation to tell the people about it.
So sorry to interrupt. Sir, a plane has just hit the Empire State Building.
Let me speak! Dua Lipa's neckline was serving an updated take on 90s camp. I know it, you know it, everyone in that press pool knew it. It's the truth. I saw her stun. Sir, I saw her stun. So, you know what? Fine. Go ahead. Kill the story. Fire me. Do whatever you want. But know this. Tomorrow morning, millions of Americans, good, hardworking, gay Americans, will wake up, they'll go to school, they'll go to work, they'll kiss their wives, and they'll have no idea what Dua Lipa wore. And if you can live with that, Then I quit. Oh, and I can believe what those 10 child stars look like today. They look like adults.
Look, boss, HR approved it 9 months ago. The holiday's non-refundable, and I've promised the wife we're going. I'm not working next Saturday. You're just going to have to find cover.
We absolutely need you next Saturday. It's essential we've got our best team in. Cancel your holiday and get your priorities in order.
I'm happy to do in the week, and I can do Friday night at a push, but I'm not doing Saturday.
That's useless to me, Ash. I can't believe you've even booked a holiday over that weekend.
Look, I don't think any of us thought we'd be getting to the FA Cup final, did we? We've been relegation fodder all season. No one saw this coming.
Oh, that's the spirit.
We'll just get some cover in. There's a big old team of us, just put one of them in.
You're our first choice keeper.
Oh what, so I'm being punished now, am I, for being best in the team? Nice one. Would it be alright for Tim to go on holiday? Rewarded for being third choice keeper.
You should want to play in a final.
I want to go to Crete with my wife and kids. I don't want to be working when I'm supposed to be on holiday.
If you go to Crete, then I will fine you a month's wages.
Okay, well I'll just go back to HR then.
You're not going.
Right, well you can break the news to my wife.
Hi, babe.
Hi, darling. Look, Gaffer's got something to tell you.
Hi, Molly. Yeah, I've just had to explain to Ash here that he is unfortunately needed next Saturday for the FA Cup final. It's a really big game for the whole club and the fans.
I'm not being funny, Neil, but the scheduling at your place is a joke. Ash has had to work every Saturday for the past 9 months. I think the least you could do is honour his pre-booked holiday and let him have this one off.
It's not that simple, I'm afraid, Molly.
It's perfectly simple. Get cover. Tim hasn't worked a Saturday since he joined. What's going on, Neil? Because it sounds like workplace favouritism to me.
There's no favouritism, Molly.
Look, Ricardo had 9 months off last year, on full pay. And you're telling me there's no favouritism?
He was recovering from a ruptured ACL.
Oh, maybe I'll rupture my ACL. Sounds nice.
I just think, as a manager, Neil, you need to factor in the personal lives of your employees. Our whole lives should not be revolving around Ash's work. If you can't get enough cover for shifts, then maybe you need to think about hiring more staff, or at least rotate them better.
I can assure you I will be bringing in more players in the summer. But with all due respect, Molly, seeing as I'm the manager of this football club, I think I might be more equipped to decide where and when to use my players.
I'd say otherwise.
OK then. What does my goalkeeper's partner suggest I do then, Molly?
Well, assuming you're playing a high line against them like you did in the win back in December, you're going to want more of a sweeper keeper, right?
Right.
Well, we all know Ash is more of a shot stopper. You know, prefers to stay on his line. My suggestion is, Alves has excelled in the under-23s this season playing as a sweeper. Call him up to the first team and put him in the starting 11. He has the debut of his dreams, you look like a tactical genius and a manager who isn't afraid to put faith in the youth players, and we get to go to Crete.
OK, yeah, no, I suppose I'm happy to go for that this week, Molly. Enjoy your holiday. See you at the awards evening.
We're in Marbella that weekend.
Of course you are.
Right, well, I'm just glad we got there in the end. I'll go do my warm down.
Welcome back to Baby Book Club, everyone. I hope you've had a fruitful week of reading and are ready to discuss our latest piece of classic literature, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. A fairly dense read, yes, but also a rewarding one. So, Daisy, what did you think of the book?
Oh, riveting. Truly, I enjoyed this so much, especially because I've been looking for a good hardback to really sink my teeth into.
Yeah. Because you have been teething.
Exactly. I chewed it to bits.
I also enjoyed it. I read it as an allegory of corporate greed and the 1%.
Ugh.
Oh, the resident socialist speaks out again.
Well, listen, I just believe in a policy of sharing is caring. My toys are your toys. An attitude extolled by some great red thinkers like Karl Marx and Elmo.
I take your point. Carry on.
I read it as a commentary on excessive food waste. You know, maybe he wouldn't be so hungry if he didn't just eat the middle bit of everything. There's still most of that apple left.
Yeah, the avarice. It's shocking. He eats better than most of the kids in the UK.
That's right. I was reading it and I felt sick to my stomach.
Yeah, the greed. It's nauseating.
No, well, because my dad was bouncing me on his knee too hard. But yeah, the greed bit too.
Well, I have a less pessimistic view. I really read it as a journey of transformation. The character arc, I thought, was very clear.
Oh, but it was a bit on the nose. I mean, I wasn't born yesterday.
No, but you were born last week.
Yeah, fair, but I have read a lot in that time.
Oh, you've read all the genres, have you?
Yeah, you name it.
Okay, pop-up books?
Yeah.
Books that float in the bath?
Yes.
Oh, fair enough, you really have.
I've read all the classics.
And now I've even begun my foray into film. Although I have to say, there's a distinct lack of baby representation on screen.
Well, what about Look Who's Talking?
Well, that was adults doing the voices of babies, and you couldn't get away with that these days.
Yeah, I don't think it's controversial to say those roles should have gone to babies.
Okay, but what about the other one, the baby in the suit?
Donald Trump?
No, the baby who's in charge of that company.
Elon Musk?
No, a boss baby.
Ah.
Well, yes, but it's the exception that proves the rule, unfortunately. Anyway, we've gone off topic, but we should have time for one more book discussion, I think. Did you guys read the other one?
Yes.
No, unfortunately, I pooed myself and had to have a bath.
Okay, not to worry. We'll catch you up. So, Good Night Moon. Thoughts?
Let me just say this. It put me right to sleep.
Well, listening to that and joining us is the Secretary of State. Good morning to you.
Hi, Nick. So I'm really here to attempt a, at least superficially, robust defence of our position on this legislation. A legislation I won't add that I am not wholly convinced on myself. For example, Nick, last night I said to my husband, "Oh God, Craig, this bill is a joke and I'm the poor sod wheeled out for the morning round to deliver the punchline. I'm a sacrificial lamb thrown to the media to destroy. I didn't get into politics to defend this crap and no, Craig, not tonight. I am not in the mood." But obviously, I'm not going to say any of that to you, Nick, for my objective is to wholeheartedly defend this legislation in a way that isn't mocked either by you or by the wider public on a social media platform later on.
Let's be clear what that means.
Of course, Nick. To be clear, I'm going to really try and not be clear so that we both get so lost in the waffle that I am spouting that you hopefully have trouble locating the holes in the logic of what I am saying. And when you try and swerve me, of course, with an interjection, I'm going to keep talking on one long run-on sentence so that when you want to ask a question, I'll be able to say...
Can I just ask you what it might mean?
Can you just let me finish, Nick, and drive my sentence through, getting louder, getting quicker, with such force towards a destination I do understand and can talk about with some assurance? Because, Nick, as I sobbed to my spad this morning, which was doubly humiliating because, as everyone in Westminster knows, we are also sexually involved, this is not a topic that I really myself understand. I was saying this morning, Jim, tell me something, explain it to me, I don't know what it is. What if I'm asked this or that? And do you want to meet in a hotel later? No, not that place again, Jim. The bathrooms are much too small.
Okay.
And in conclusion to all that, Nick, I'm going to pivot away to what I want to talk about that can be clipped up for my own socials later.
What is happening today?
Well, when asked what is happening today, I like to ask what is happening in the future. See, Nick, that is me rounding up the interview with quite an expert pivot because I've got one eye on the clock and I know you have to cut to the sport. And lo, my career has survived another interview.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Nick.
POV was written and performed by Kylie Brakeman,
The Exploding Heads,
Rachel Fairburn,
Matt Green,
Rosie Holt,
Charlene Kay,
Kelechi Okafor,
Larry and Paul,
Morton Burke and Fry,
The Squid,
and Ed Knight and Paddy Young.
It was produced by Ed Morrish and was a Lead Mojo production for BBC Radio 4.
At the same time, next week, we hear from a man who's a bit too worried about robots, a guided meditation for introverts, and the guy who decided how the BBC works. And there's more comedy tomorrow evening at 6:30 in the shape of the news quiz as Andy Zaltzman hosts a topical quiz show which unpicks the week's news stories. Well, after the news, we're off to Ambridge where Mick hatches an unexpected plan.
Young Again with me, Kirsty Young.
I can be too focused on myself and I can take things too personally.
I'm joined on Young Again by comedian and podcaster Adam Buxton.
Why would it be the end of the world if I did end up working in TV, but worked like an artist in that medium and paid attention to the details and tried to do weird, funny things?
I'll be asking him what advice he wishes he could give his younger self.
I'd say, come on, mate. One day you're going to be able to get a book out of this.
Young Again with me, Kirsty Young, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Next Tuesday morning.